Well, if you are, as my next guest has just described off air, like him and like me, a human mosquito-bitten pincushion right now, then you are going to love some of what we have to talk about. I can't fill in for Evan Bray for a whole week without having the wonderful tech analyst and journalist Carmi Levy on to talk through all the big stories of the week. Carmi, how you doing? Human pincushion aside.
Yeah, aside from the fact that I'm scratching myself because I'm just itchy beyond belief from the mosquitoes here, I am so glad to be here with you. Every time you have me on, I look forward to the day when we get to just turn the mic on and chat. This is just the best.
Oh, I love it. And you know what? Our audience in Saskatchewan, so many people are scratching away right now, and we'll just love this first topic we're going to talk about. You have some information about a new startup that is building mini drones to wage a war of total destruction on mosquitoes. Tell us about this, Carmi.
So it comes to us from this French company. It's a tech startup. They're known as Tourniol. And basically what they've done is they have created this tiny little four-propeller drone. It weighs 40 grams, so less than the watch on my wrist.
Wow.
And what it does, it uses ultrasonic sonar to autonomously locate and track mosquitoes. And it uses AI to identify their unique wing beat frequency. In other words, if a bee flies by, it won't take off. It'll go, oh, this is a bee, let it go, because everybody loves bees. But if it's a mosquito, AI can tell, oh, that's a mosquito. It will then take off, fly after the mosquito, and this is the cool or gross part of it, depending on where you stand. It will use one of its four propellers to basically mash the thing to death. So the video of this, and they've shown it on their X account, it's simultaneously gross and incredibly fascinating, but it's really sophisticated, and the thing can fly for up to 3 minutes before it autonomously flies back to its charging station, recharges itself, and then it's ready to go again. And the mission is that you put a bunch of these drones and charging stations out in like up to a 5-acre field, so let's say a farmer's field. And it will operate on its own, just turn it on, and the software runs the whole thing, and it'll essentially get rid of every mosquito in that area using these devices. No chemicals, no sort of downstream worry about the environment, because really what you're doing, it's essentially a kinetic kill vehicle, and the video is probably some of the coolest video that you will see anywhere. This is really neat, getting lots of funding from Y Combinator, which is a pretty significant source of venture capital funding. So their goal is to commercialize this. They're saying they're not putting a price on it, but they are saying far more affordable than other ways of getting rid of mosquitoes. And it's annoying for us because there's been a lot of rain and we're all getting bitten up.
Mm-hmm.
It's also annoying in other parts of the world where things like malaria,
yes,
and, you know, Zika virus and other mosquito-borne illnesses are, you know, incredibly dangerous. By some estimates, 600,000 people a year die from malaria as well, you know, directly. So if this can save lives as well, it's pretty cool technology.
Carmi, you had to bring up the malaria and the Zika virus. I was just about to say I need the entire army of mosquito drones in my backyard to deal with what we have going on right now. But okay, we'll let them deal with malaria and Zika virus. And I'll just give a shout out to my husband. If he's home and listening, we still need that standing water gone from our backyard, husband. Okay, Carmi, another story that I love and I can totally relate to. The death of the status update. More and more people have stopped posting on social media. I can tell you I am absolutely one of them. Tell me about this study.
Yeah, so it comes to us from a company called Incogni. And basically what they did was they looked at sort of how we're participating on social media. And they've been tracking it over a number of years. And their data shows that we're posting less than we used to. Half of us say we post less now than we did 5 years ago. Another half of us say that we're being stricter about who can see our posts. And just under half are saying we're getting rid of the apps from our devices because we're just getting sick of social media. And the reason being, and they explain this, is that social media isn't social anymore. It used to be about who you follow, who follows you. You know, you felt that you were part of a community. It was almost like a town square. Whereas if you look at the average feed today, most of the content is advertising. It's suggested content, algorithmically driven content. It's things that you didn't ask to see. Mm-hmm. And it's increasingly difficult to find the people that you actually care about. So I think people are starting to realize, you know what, I got better things to do with my time. And it's fascinating to see that we're finally starting to see data that shows, I think we're all starting to drift away from social media, and none too soon, because I saw this and I saw myself in that information. I too am spending a lot less time on it because, quite frankly, it just isn't doing it for me anymore.
Yeah. And you know, Carmi, it's so interesting to think about this story because there are so many other stories in the news right now, happening right now, that I can only imagine that 55% of Americans stopping posting on social media, that number is only going to go up and up and up. Another story that we've been talking about this week is this decision by Meta to first impose and then scrap an AI image feature that would basically allow people to use your images, publicly posted images of yourself, maybe of your kids. I mean, I don't do that crap, but and use it to create AI imagery. Tell me about what this decision was and this very quick pivot from Meta this week.
Yeah, the app was called Muse Image, and basically it was an opt-out feature. So essentially, if you didn't do anything, you were automatically opted into it. No, and you didn't have to change your settings. So everyone woke up earlier this month, and suddenly anyone, any stranger, could grab an image that you had posted, run it through Muse Image, change it any way they wished because it's an AI app, and they could post it. So if somebody wanted to, you know, maybe sort of take an image of you at doing something compromising that you would never do in the real world and then post it, you had no control over it. And we had to opt out of it if we didn't want to participate. Well, of course, as you can imagine, that lit a firestorm of controversy on social media. People were protesting, and the European government weighed in and basically said, you know, you can't do that. That violates a whole bunch of laws, particularly the Digital Services Act in Europe. And they launched an investigation, and the European Union means business. They could fine them up to 6% of their global revenues if they find they're not in compliance. So Meta went and decided to get rid of that feature. So Muse Image still exists, but they've turned off the ability to grab photos off of other people's feeds and use them or run them through the AI photo generator. So it's a bit of a victory, but this is what Meta does. They've done this many times in their history where they introduce a feature that's automatically turned on, and it's incredibly invasive in terms of privacy. And this time they got caught with their hands in the cookie jar, and they seem to have backed down fairly quickly. Good for them. But I'm always watching this company because it's only a matter of time before they do the same thing again with some other app, some other feature, and we're going to have another controversy just like this.
Carmi, I mean, what does it say to you that Meta would even think of doing this in the first place? When you think about 55% of Americans stopping their social media use, when you think of, you know, just how the commencement speeches around AI are getting booed by new grads, like, are they so entitled that they feel they can just do whatever they want? Are they out of touch? Like, why would they even attempt something like this? Because it's only creating more bad press.
I think entitled is the perfect word. Every time I hear Mark Zuckerberg talk about what the company's AI vision is, I have to punch a wall because he is completely out of touch. I think he seems to think that everybody wants to participate in this AI-generated future, and the reality is we don't. Mm-hmm. It's a creepy vision. It's a dystopian vision, and it's an incredible invasion of our privacy on so many levels. And so I think the company recognizes that the writing is on the wall. We are backing away from social media, which is a direct threat to their business. So they're introducing features that, in their view, drive engagement, keep us on the platform, collect more data, allow them to generate revenue in other ways, even if they're creepy, even if they're invasive. And so they're trying to keep investors happy, even if it means ticking off all of us who use these platforms. What's our response? We spend even less time on them, and we punish them that way. So I think as things continue to get worse, as social media becomes even less social, I would expect Meta to continue to try this because they're hoping that at least one of them is going to stick.
Yes. Okay. If you're just joining us, my guest is Carmi Levy, technology extraordinaire, analyst and journalist. Carmi, we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back and continue on with some of these biggest and most interesting tech headlines of the day, including why we should maybe be thinking twice about the travel websites that we are visiting, talking about AI and bots. And my goodness, can we not just book a vacation, Carmi, without this bad part of technology getting in the way? We're going to continue that conversation on the other side of the break. You are listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
Welcome back. Well, we can perhaps change the world of mosquitoes using tiny little mosquito slaughtering drones. I love that tech news that we're discussing with our friend of the show, Carmi Levy, tech analyst, journalist, tech extraordinaire. Carmi, that's a positive use, a positive application of AI that we were discussing before the break, but so many negative applications as well. And you and I were just discussing off air about LinkedIn, and that's about like the only social media platform I really use anymore. But it has become so saturated with AI, and the research is now backing that up.
Yeah, so it's an AI detection platform known as PanGram, and they wanted to look at various platforms, so LinkedIn, X, Reddit, Medium, and Substack. And they wanted to ask a very simple question. What percentage of the content on these platforms is AI generated? And so they looked at, so Substack, 20% of the content was flagged as AI generated.
Wow.
Which is still a lot, and it's still concerning. On X, that was 25%. So a quarter of the content on it was AI generated. Well, LinkedIn, over 40% of their posts were flagged as being written by AI. And what's depressing is LinkedIn accounted for a third of the content that they scanned, but it also accounted for two-thirds of all the AI content that was flagged. So basically, if you're reading LinkedIn posts, you're one and a third time more likely to be reading something that's AI generated than on any other platform. And they're unfortunately the worst ones at detecting and dealing with it. Part of it could be because LinkedIn has a feature called enhanced posts. So a lot of people, they write a post and then they hit the enhanced post, and it basically takes AI and it punches it up. So it takes their voice away. And unfortunately, that of course means that there's a lot of AI generated content that may or may not be human generated. It's kind of a lot of shades of gray. I can often tell when AI wrote something, it sort of writes with a certain style. And quite frankly, it means that I'm getting less value out of LinkedIn, and I'm trying to spend less time on it because of it. Mm-hmm. And that data that we talked about earlier, you know, we're all getting tired of algorithms telling us what to do and of non-human, you know, machinery writing content. And I think if we're getting upset about that, we're going to be spending less time on these platforms. And I think that's a reasonable thing to do. Nobody wants to spend their day consuming AI-generated copy, especially on the platform that was supposed to be all about professionals. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's social media for adults. And yet here LinkedIn is leading the way in AI slop.
Mm-hmm. You know, I, as annoying as it is, I can't help but think this could be a positive thing, that we're all getting turned off social media and we'll start talking to each other in real life or on the radio, folks.
Right on. Exactly. Back to humans. And I think this is, we're finally starting to open our eyes that maybe this AI-driven social media experiment isn't necessarily a good thing. Let's go find better ways to spend our time, like hanging out with people that we really like.
Yes. Okay. So speaking of hanging out with humans, my sister and I often remark she works in a building that also includes a travel agency. And we're like, how do travel agencies still exist? Who is going into a travel agency and actually talking to people? But this next story might explain some of it. Some airports that a lot of us here in Saskatchewan fly to and through quite often are expressing concerns over fake bot-driven travel sites. What are we talking about here, Carmi?
So there are websites that go by the name of thetraveler.org or Toronto Digest, Travel and Tour World, Nomad Lawyer, and Travel Tourister. And Pearson International Airport in Toronto issued a warning late last week saying basically these websites are misleading. They are publishing flight information that is often AI generated and often wrong. So if you're looking for flight information and you follow these websites, you may end up thinking, oh, my flight's been delayed, so I'll just go to the airport a little bit later. You show up at the airport only to realize that information was wrong. You have just missed your flight. When reporters kind of looked into it, they realized that airports in Montreal, Vancouver, and Ottawa are also noticing this problem, and travelers are unfortunately signing into these rogue websites, and they're believing them to be legitimate when in fact they're not. And so the message for all of us is if we are traveling, only go to the official airport website of the airports that you are flying through, and then also only contact or only use the apps of the airlines that you're using. So don't search something up on Google and click on some random link. Make sure that you are trusting of the source that you are using to determine your flight information. Don't allow these, you know, rogue intermediate sites to insert themselves into the conversation, because you may find yourself following fake AI-generated advice, and that is incredibly problematic.
Geez, I go to thetravelerorg.com. It bills itself as a global hub of travel knowledge. Just might not be the accurate knowledge. And, of course, there's all sorts of sponsored ads along the side. Yeah. So that's what the business model is.
That's exactly it. It's clickbait. It's designed to drive traffic. They serve up ads. They make money. And there's an even darker side to it. Some of them are fronts for cyber crime. So they collect your information and then in some cases use it for identity theft attacks. In other cases, they sell it to other aggregator sites. And before you know it, you're getting phishing messages in your inbox. And so whichever way you look at this, this is bad stuff. You don't want to be visiting these sites. Check your sources more carefully before you book anything.
Carmi, we've just got a minute left, but I have to ask you about the Swedes here, because, I mean, this seems like a Captain Obvious thing, but it's worth noting that the Swedes have proven modern cars are more distracting than ever. It's irony, but also obvious, no?
Yeah, we should know this. It is obvious, but they're putting data to it. So it's an automotive magazine, Vi Balagare, and they tested vehicles 5 years ago, and then they tested them again this year to kind of see how much time it takes to, start the defroster, increase the cabin temperature, change from one radio station to another, or reset the odometer. And they found that 5 years ago, it took almost a minute less than it does now. So it's taking us more time to fiddle with the screen because we no longer have buttons. We no longer have switches. Everything is buried in a menu on a screen, and that is distracting, and the data proves that. And it's, you know, they're not saying this is getting people killed, but we know full well this is what causes more accidents. And as time goes on, it's getting worse and worse.
Jeez. Carmi, one of my parents has a car that actually has like an analog clock in it with a freaking hour and minute hand. And I'm like, why are we looking at this old hour and minute hand? We need to just quickly see the time and look back at the road. It's just, oh my gosh. Anyway, Carmi Levy, we unfortunately have to end it there because we're coming up against the break. But such a delight as always to go through all the big, daunting, but also hopeful with the death of mosquitoes, tech stories of the day. Carmi Levy, technology analyst and journalist. Thanks so much for taking the time.
So wonderful being with you, Tamara. Thanks so much for having me.
Have a great day. All right. On the other side of the break, folks, some more hopeful news in our newscast. We're not talking about the death of mosquitoes, but we are talking about something that could be a real game changer for cancer patients and their doctors. Coming up on the other side of the Evan Bray Show, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.